This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, we continue looking at the legacy of the late Pope Francis. We shall close our program with our usual segment dedicated to the family. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. The world on Sunday woke up to the understanding that Pope Francis has gone to his father and that his remains are now buried in the Basilica of St. Mary Major near the icon he so much cherished of the Maria Salus Populi Romani. On Saturday evening, following the burial of the late Pope, the coadjutor archpriest of the Basilica of St. Mary Major, Cardinal Rolandas Macricas, presided over the recitation of the rosary in honor of Pope Francis. He introduced the prayer saying, "Today with his arrival in the Basilica, our beloved Pope Francis completed his final journey. He passed through the streets of Rome, and the numerous faithful paid their last respects and expressed all their affection. In our hearts, we keep alive the memory of all his faithful ministry in and for the Church he loved and served until his last breath. From today, he rests in this Marian shrine, so dear to him, under the loving gaze of his mother, here venerated under the title of Salus Populi Romani." Cardinal Macricas went on to say, "We pray that the light of your risen Son might grant him the reward promised to faithful servants, help of Christians. Pray for us," Cardinal Macricas concluded his introduction. And on Divine Sunday morning, more than 200,000 teenagers and other pilgrims from around the world filled the St. Peter's Square for the Mass that was meant to conclude the scheduled Jubilee for Teenagers. With the passing of Pope Francis, the program changed somehow, and the Divine Mercy Sunday Mass counted for the second day of the Novendiales, or 9 days of mourning for the late Pope. In his homily, the main celebrant, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, reminded the young people and the faithful present about the fact that the shepherd whom the Lord gave to his people, Pope Francis, has ended his earthly life and has left us. Devin Watkins reports.
At Mass on the second day of the Novendiales, or 9 days of mourning for the late Pope Francis, Cardinal Pietro Parolin invited us to look to Christ's infinite mercy for peace in the world and in our hearts. In his homily, the 70-year-old Italian-born cardinal drew inspiration from the day's gospel, which recalls the fear and sadness of the apostles as they huddled in the upper room after Jesus' death. He said this image represents the Church's state of mind at this moment as Christians mourn the late Pope, who died on Easter Monday and was buried on Saturday.
Il dolore per la sua dipartita.
The grief at his departure, the sense of sadness that assails us, the turmoil we feel in our hearts, the sense of bewilderment, he said. All this recalls the apostles grieving over the death of Jesus. Yet, said Cardinal Parolin, Christ comes precisely in this darkness to reveal himself in the glory of his resurrection and illumine our hearts. Many young people were present at the second Novendiales Mass, which took place during the scheduled Jubilee for Teenagers. Cardinal Parolin urged young people to welcome the joy of Easter, even amid the pain of loss, reminding them that Jesus always gives us the courage to live. Recalling the Feast of Divine Mercy, the Cardinal noted that mercy takes us back to the heart of faith and helps us interpret our identity as the Church according to God's categories rather than those of the world.
Perché la buona notizia del Vangelo è anzitutto la scoperta di essere amati da un Dio.
The good news of the Gospel, he said, is first and foremost the discovery of being loved by a God who has compassionate and tender feelings for each one of us, regardless of our merit. Cardinal Parolin, who served as Secretary of State under Pope Francis, noted that only mercy heals and creates a new world, extinguishing the fires of hatred and violence. Pope Francis, he said, was a shining witness of a church that bends down with tenderness towards those who are wounded and heals with the balm of mercy. The late Pope, he concluded, believes strongly that peace is not possible without recognition of one another and mutual forgiveness in light of God's mercy. I'm Devin Watkins.
Some of the young people present at the Mass spoke to Vatican Radio Stephanie in sweet memory of their grandfather, Pope Francis, whom they said dedicated his life to those most in need.
It's really an amazing opportunity to become such a big function, like historical moments. But it's amazing to be able to experience such a massive emotional...
What does he mean for you, especially as young people? This is the voice for the Jubilee, for the young people.
Yeah, especially in this Jubilee now, he's definitely like a mentor to show you what to do with life and show you how to live it, especially in a Christian Orthodox way. So definitely a role model up there.
I think it might be a difficult question, but of course we're thinking also of death now as a topic. How do you feel as a young person with this?
I think it just, for me, it motivates me just to live life, you know, like try and live it to the fullest with all these amazing people around me and have every experience before, you know, time comes and then we get to go to heaven. So then I think it's, I mean, death is not great, but you know, I think it's good.
Pope Francis always was, very often he was talking also about the dialogue between young and old people. And you're talking to older people. How is your relation and what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think I personally have a good relationship. You know, it's just always a two-way street of respect, so you know. But yeah, I think it's a very good connection to have wiser people and older than you to be able to guide you in life and just show you the ropes of things.
Meanwhile, a video has surfaced that shows Pope Francis quoting young people on the virtue of listening to others. The video was apparently recorded just a month before the late Pope was hospitalized in February. In the video that was published by the Italian weekly magazine Oggi, or Today, on Divine Mercy Sunday, just a day after his burial, the Holy Father was reminding young people about the importance of listening while others are talking. Thaddeus Jones reports.
A previously unseen video recorded on January 8th shows the late Pope Francis addressing young people participating in listening workshops. The initiative was founded in Italy and brings together young people and adults to discuss various topics in hopes of exploring the beauty of being heard and listening to others. The video was published on Sunday, a day after the late Pope's Requiem Mass, by the Italian weekly magazine Oggi, meaning today. In the video message recorded at the Casa Santa Marta, Pope Francis urged young people to always listen to your grandparents. They teach us so much. He says, "Dear boys and girls, one of the most important things in life is to listen, to learn how to listen," said the late Pope. "And when someone speaks to you, wait for them to finish so you can really understand, and then, if you feel like it, respond. But the important thing is to listen." Pope Francis noted that many people are unable to truly listen to other people since they're already formulating their response as the other person speaks. "Look closely at people, and people don't listen," he said. "Halfway through an explanation, they'll answer, and that doesn't help peace. Listen, listen a lot," the late Pope said. The Pope's video message was released as hundreds of thousands of teenagers gathered in Rome to celebrate the Jubilee of Teenagers. Around 200,000 people came out to St. Peter's Square to attend Mass for the second day of the Novemdiales, or 9 days of mourning for Pope Francis. Though the Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday was in suffrage for Pope Francis, Cardinal Pietro Parolin invited young people to embrace the late Pope's teaching on mercy so that they might discover the path to peace for their personal relationships and for the entire world. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Despite centuries of division among Christian churches, Pope Francis prioritized ecumenism throughout his papacy, building on the groundwork laid by his predecessors. From initially presenting himself as Bishop of Rome to becoming the first pope to visit with Anglican and Reformed leaders, he consistently demonstrated solidarity through both words and actions. Early in his pontificate, his use of Bishop of Rome signaled respect for the leadership of other Christian denominations. These are some of the leaders that all echo the fact that the late Pope Francis pursued the path of Christian unity. The General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, Reverend Dr. Jerry Pillay, reacted to the death of Pope Francis, saying, "Together with the entire Roman Catholic Church, we at the World Council of Churches mourn the loss of an extraordinary shepherd of the people of God." He went on to say that Pope Francis will be remembered with gratitude and love by Christians and all the people of goodwill around the world. Throughout his ministry, Pope Francis offered a prophetic voice for our times. His witness to the gospel, his heartfelt call for Christian unity, and his tireless advocacy for the marginalized have left an indelible mark on the global Christian unity, the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches concluded. The presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church also wrote, saying, "My heart is heavy at the death of our brother in Christ, Pope Francis. Throughout his life and ministry, he has been a witness for the gospel and a champion for the poor and marginalized. Especially in this season, I give thanks for his powerful advocacy on behalf of migrants and refugees." President Salva Kiir remembered Pope Francis' deep affection for South Sudan, especially his extraordinary gesture on April 11th, 2019, when he knelt and kissed the feet of Kiir and his rival, Vice President Riek Machar, urging them to end the civil war. Kiir recalled the Pope's act of kindness in Rome as a turning point, where Francis, hosting a retreat for the warring leaders since December 2013, encouraged them to overcome their divisions and seek unity through dialogue, negotiation, and forgiveness. Salva Kiir, reflecting on the encounter, said the Pope's humility left him almost trembling and inspired him as both a Catholic and a national leader. Even the Catholic Church leaders have confessed the fact that Pope Francis was a moral compass and a great leader. Highlighting the virtues of the late Pope, Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama of the Catholic Archdiocese of Abuja in Nigeria says that humanity was the Pope's constituency.
Pope Francis was a friend to Muslims, to Buddhists, Hindus. He had no boundaries. He had no barriers. Everybody mattered. Humanity, I would say, was his constituency. A moral authority. I would say somebody who was a moral compass, because he spoke on moral issues, ethical issues, and he identified with the poor and marginalized and the downtrodden. So he was a great leader. In the last 12 years, has been very, very active. I would say almost hyperactive, because he wasn't resting. He was always on duty, if not in the Vatican, out elsewhere. And he was a person who embraced all of humanity. Wherever there is an issue, he is there. And he wants to fully identify. The poor would miss him a lot because he spoke for them. He was very clear about the dignity of the poor person. We in Africa, for instance, he spoke strongly about being colonized again, ideologically, called ideological colonization. The women, he gave them a standing in the things of the church. He allowed them to have access to areas that they didn't have access before. So you find women in leadership positions. He stood against war. Anybody that was a victim of war was very close to Pope Francis. And that was why in Ukraine, he sent his cardinals to go in person. He would have even gone in person if it was possible. He sent ambulances, foodstuff, and all kinds of things. So in every sense, he was a global leader. Whether it's about the environment, he wrote this famous document, Laudato Si, and a lot of other things. He was a great Pope with new vision, and he innovated many good things. And that history will remember him favorably for that.
Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama of Abuja in Nigeria. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, Family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program Family.
Last week on Family, we featured the Bishop of Yei in South Sudan, Bishop Alex Lodion Sako Eyobo. We were discussing with him the pastoral life of the church in Sudan in the context of Easter. Notwithstanding the passing on of Pope Francis, it is still Easter.
Well, no, Easter is a feast of a celebration of hope. And
we are celebrating the jubilee
of hope. So let people, as we celebrate this Easter, let us celebrate with the hope that we, as individuals, will come out from our shortcomings. Just as Jesus rose, you know, leaving behind the powers of death, coming out with the power of life. So let our people individually, not just as group, individually. And once individually we are able to come out of that, then as a group we are okay. And rise with Christ to the life of sanctity, to a life of love, to a life of justice, life of reconciliation and all that. Because if we don't do that, then our practice of faith in the risen Lord is still hypocritic. It's still hypocritic. We go to celebrate Easter just as one of the feasts of the year. All over the world now, there is a lot of stress from people. People don't see how things are moving. There seem to be wars almost everywhere, even from the so-called in the developed world now. Many wars are going on in Ukraine, I don't know where, in Palestine and Israel, in other places, leave alone our Africa. That has been used as a battleground by international groups. You know, most of the time, we weren't the one fighting our wars, actually. There are people behind who are fighting our wars, using us. In this year, let us reflect deeply on the gift of hope, the value of hope, that when we hope for better things and we work on those better things, we will certainly get them.
What do you see? Are you assured that the people come back from the refugee camps, situation will stabilize eventually, or it will be more of the same for some time to come?
Many people were actually already coming. You know, like in 2023, 2024, when I visited our parishes, there were already a good number of people who came back from the camps. And that was already a good signal that many people are coming voluntarily, not being repatriated by UNHCR, but they decide to come back. One reason of coming back is that they want to be home. We do not like to stay outside for quite long. It's too long, too much now, because there was another war, they were out. Again, this time they have to stay out. So some of them say, why do we have to stay out all throughout? Now that there is a little bit of calm, we want to come back. But secondly, also the conditions in the camps are not so good. The conditions in the camps are not so good. Food rations are being reduced every year. We understand this year now the ration is now only 3.5 kilograms per person per month. You know, how do you do that? And then secondly, education is becoming a problem. Primary education is given, yes, by UNHCR and other humanitarian agencies. But once your child finishes primary, you want to go to secondary school. The refugee cannot pay because in the secondary school it has to be paid. It doesn't have the money, it doesn't work. Cultivation is another thing. They're not given land free. You have to negotiate with the landlords of the area, the host community, in order to get land, and you pay for it. You cultivate, you finish the cultivation season, you harvest, you again pay for another money for the next. You know, so in that kind of situation, refugees are beginning to say, but our land is just lying fallow at home there. Why all this? So many of them are deciding to just come and say, we are going, as you say in Swahili, come and buy. We go just there to see what is there. So people were already coming. But one worry now is the current situation we have in the country, the tension between these two principles, the agreement and the confrontations through military attacks and all this, is already scaring also many of them, you know. And some are already getting tempted that if this is how things are, we don't know how they are going to become. we better go back to the
before market. Things become worse. They choose to run away.
They run again. To
we
the
pray country. That they yeah. don't become worse.
That's what we are praying for. So those are all the pastoral challenges. But at the end of the day, if you see the faith of the people, you begin to wonder that indeed in difficult moments faith grows. You know, when faith is tested, it grows even stronger. And that's our own experience, that people are there. I like using the phrase, their resilience of faith. Their faith is not disturbed by the economic and security challenges that they face. They continue to hold into it, onto it very strongly, and move forward without being discouraged. So that to us is encouraging as shepherds. When you begin to see the people stable in practicing their faith despite the challenges, that gives us hope that we are doing something that is impacting on them, you know. But of course, we start to question sometimes, like in the cities. Our churches are full in the cities. Cathedrals are full. Parish churches are full. So sometimes we are also questioning ourselves a little bit. But our people have so many in the church when they come to Sundays and occasions. But when you go to daily basis of the practice of that faith, we don't see it much also. Because these are the same people again who go against one another in violence and all that. So we begin to see where is the problem. So we are trying to look also for a new strategy to go deeper a little bit and say that probably some of the things we see as faith is a little bit impression. The very good ones, certainly, who are very good, they are very strong on that. But another one is euphoric faith, just taken by, you know, the group. But when it comes to real practice of that faith on an individual basis, it becomes a little bit difficult.
I think, just to digress a bit, this was one of the challenges of Rwanda, which was, they said at the time, maybe 80% Catholic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then you had the genocide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what you are saying is euphoric faith, impressions, people packed churches, but on the practice, then the what practice. Is happening? Because these are the same people again who end up fighting and supporting different political perspectives.
Yeah. You see, when the Secretary of State came, visited us on the first schedule of the Holy Father coming, but later on it was postponed.
Yes.
So he went on his behalf to just give hope to the people that the Holy Father is coming.
He's still coming to visit.
Don't worry. Yeah. So when he came there, he was asking us questions when we were meeting him, Bishop. He was asking questions. The president, to which faith does he belong? He says he's a Catholic. He said, what about the first vice president? He says he's a Presbyterian. What about your schools? I'm quite sure many people go to your schools. He said, yeah. He said, now why is it that these people are Catholics, Anglicans, in the government? Why is it that they're not seeing the difference of life that they should be living? Instead, they are here in the church. Tomorrow they are there in the field to fight. And that is true. You can see these persons are members of our churches. They even come for prayer on Sundays. I always say they come to sit in front, like what Jesus was saying. You know, they come and sit in front.
True.
But when they leave the church, it's a different story. So are we saying that our evangelization has not been done well or by our missionaries at the beginning? Most probably that we never evangelize our people to own their faith. The faith was just at the level of giving the, you know, sacraments, but it was not inculturated. It was not inculturated into the lives of the people to challenge their own cultures. Some of the cultures, unfortunately, being violent. So the roots of our cultures are not touched yet by the gospel message. And that seemed to be the way forward for us as a church in South Sudan. So that at the end of the day, you know that once you are Christian, you are not supposed to kill your brother. So it means the faith has not gone deep into the roots of culture. so much so that those cultures are transformed into Christian culture. And that is a big challenge that still we need to work on. All these things are not going to be forever. Let us take history into account that many countries went through those challenges. And now these countries are flourishing after having known that war is not the best. And so we too believe that South Sudan, in the course of the years, will also come out from there. We are being tested yet, and it's a moment of purification for us, I always say. We have been purified in our thinking to come to understand that spilling blood of some of my brother and my sister is not Christian, and it's not even human, leave alone being Christian. Even human is not correct. So we learn from that, and I'm quite sure we are going to overcome that in the course of time.
My Lord Bishop, I'd like to thank you very sincerely for giving us your time and wish you very well in your, all the best in your pastoral ministry and to the diocese, the priests, and the people of South Sudan.
Thank you so much, Father Paul, for this opportunity. I'm very grateful, and we wish you well for your services here. Whenever we listen to the messages you broadcast over here, we are very grateful that the church is together. And I think that is the objective of Radio Vatican, to be the voice of the universal church, you know, all over. And we follow them with a lot of passion because we are connected with our universal church as a local church, and we are supported.
Thank you, my Lord.
Thank you.
Bishop Alec Lodion Sakor Eyobo of the Catholic Diocese of Yei in South Sudan.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.